Mobility Matters is supported with funding from the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration in the interest of information exchange. The NJTPA and FHWA assume no liability for its contents.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. A thought just then occurred to me I never thought before. I've been a lot of places, seen pictures of the rest. But of all the places I can't think of, I like Jersey best.
Good morning, and welcome to this episode of Mobility Matters. I'm your host, Bill Neary, and I thank you all for joining us today. For those new to the show, I'm the executive director of Keep Middlesex Moving, Middlesex County's nonprofit transportation management association. For over 30 years, KMM has been working with commuters, with employers, local county and state governments to reduce traffic congestion and improve the air quality in Middlesex County. We promote and support carpools, vanpools, mass transit usage, bicycling, and walking. We provide timely information about road and transit conditions. We also present safety programming for children, teens, and adults of all ages. So you can see that not only does mobility matter, but so does safety. Once again, we've assembled a great panel. Our guests will cover the topic of safe routes to school and how the program is implemented and how it certainly benefits all of our communities. Today's guest stars Trish Sanchez, who is the Public Relations and Outreach Specialist at Voorhees Transportation Center at Rutgers University. Christopher Gonda, the Safe Routes to School Coordinator at Keep Middlesex Moving. Susie Welkowitz, the Highland Park Councilwoman. And Max Vasquez, the Program Coordinator for the City of Perth Amboy. I want to thank you all for joining us today. I'm sure it's going to be very informative and very interesting. So we're talking about Safe Routes to School. It's actually a national program. It's on a national level. They do types of programs throughout the country. But I think in New Jersey, we're somewhat unique, the type of partnerships we have and the type of commitment we've made to it. So we're very fortunate to have Trish Sanchez with us. She's a public relations and outreach specialist at Rutgers. She works on this program on a daily basis and see how it works. So basically, when you're talking about safe routes to school, about walking, I have to make a full disclosure here. As a child, I did not walk to school 20 miles in the snow uphill both ways. It didn't happen. But there were times when I did walk to school. And my memories of walking to school, especially elementary school, was that was kind of the time you're totally free. You didn't have parents or teachers. You got the fresh air, and you could be with your friends. It was a nice experience. Times have changed, I know, but things are still the same in terms of the benefits to our healthy children, to our learning abilities, and things that we work on. So on a statewide level, the Safe Routes to School program is really beneficial. So tell us how it works at the Resource Center. What do you do at VTC?
Hi, Bill. Thanks so much for having me again. So what we do at the Safe Routes to School Resource Center is we work directly with the New Jersey Department of Transportation. So they fund the program at a statewide level, along with the Federal Highway Administration. So because we're part of Rutgers, we do research. We do a lot of research. We look into best practices. So we really offer support to New Jersey Department of Transportation, to all of the transportation management associations like KMM.
And you also do data collection.
Yeah, we do all kinds of data collection. Yep. So we do research. We do some training. And we offer best practices about the program, both the Safe Routes to School program and bicycle and pedestrian safety.
And the program basically is a program that's designed to work with individual schools and individual students almost, classroom by classroom, to teach them the safe way to walk to school.
Yep, I mean, exactly.
It sounds like such a simple concept, but it gets more complicated as you go along. And I think it's important that we have at least a structure in place that makes it work.
Right. So what we're tasked at the Safe Routes to School Resource Center is that because it's a statewide program, we want to make sure that every community, every school, every municipality has access to the same level of programs that everybody, you know, that KMM offers and everybody across the state. So that way everybody has access to the programming.
Well, when you're talking, you did talk about the statewide program with the TMAs. That's an alphabet soup for us in the business. No, a TMA is a Transportation Management Association that KMM is. But there's seven others us throughout the state. And not everybody just has one county. Some has more than one county. So when you're talking about the eight TMAs, the eight Transportation Management Association, you're talking about every county has a coordinator that's actually working within the school districts.
That's right. So across the state, there are 8 TMAs, and they have different service areas. But every municipality, every school has access to a Safe Routes to School coordinator at one of the TMAs.
And what makes that interesting, I think, when you look at it,
is
New Jersey itself, we have certainly have major urban centers.
That's right.
And we also have major rural, and we have the suburban communities. So sidewalks aren't the same, schools aren't the same, highways are different. So a coordinator in a local area can actually define their territory and work directly with the type of programs that would fit that entire school. So I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the case. There's some TMA. I mean, there's different programmings depending on the type of school you are, the type of municipality. Obviously, the challenges are different for students that live in urban communities versus suburban and rural. So those challenges are different, and these needs can be met through this program because there are different ways to make sure kids walk and bike to school safely depending on where you live.
And that's what Blaustein School does. You have a program that can fit into different types of programs and work with the coordinators to try and keep these programs going. I think it's great that we have those type of issues that can be addressed for exactly the same reason. But you're also working in Highland Park. I know that's as a citizen volunteer. I know it's your hometown, and we always seem to think Highland Park is a poster child for a lot of these type of programs.
And
I think it's great that there's citizen volunteers that are fortunate enough in this community to have a Trish Sanchez, who not only is a volunteer, she's also a professional, understand how these programs work.
It helps.
So what kind of involvement do you do with Safe Routes to School in Highland Park?
We don't want to
take all the councilwoman's words either.
She's got plenty to talk about, don't worry about. So I'm chair of the Safe Walking and Cycling Committee, and I'm really fortunate, as you said, to work in Highland Park because we have a mayor and council and a community that is very supportive of people walking and biking to school, especially kids. So that really is easy for me because I'm passionate about it both professionally and personally. So we do a whole lot of programs and work directly with KMM, Keep Middlesex Moving, on making sure that our community is safe walking and biking to school. I think we go back to like 2008 where we had the first walking school bus that we did with KMM.
Now, what's a walking school bus?
A walking school bus.
If you don't know what a walking school bus is, you better explain it, huh?
It's a bus, literally, kind of, but it's people that you get a group of folks that go and stop at different locations along the way. So it's a walking group. And you pick up people and pick up kids along the way to the route.
So it's not really a bus. What it is when the child leaves the house by themselves,
yes,
mom
exactly.
or dad, and meets somebody 2 minutes away, and eventually you have...
Well, we had a little sign that looked like a bus, so the kid carried it in front. And so it looked like a bus, but it was a bunch of kids walking. Yeah.
And the idea is have 20, 30, 35 kids all walking together at the same
all
time.
All walking in the same route. And it's accompanied by an adult or a parent, and it's a way to get to school together.
Well, I think it takes away some of the hurdles that parents might have. Their kids are no longer walking to school alone. And at the same time, they're getting the benefits of walking to school. And Highland Park is certainly a walkable community. So that makes it a little bit more advantageous to be able to have these groups of people understand the safety involved and crossing the street. So Safe Routes to School does teach pedestrian safety. It teaches the kids the right way. We all grew up looking left, right, left, and across the green and not in between. But all those things all worked as part of our memories. And I think that's what we're reinstating with these type of programs.
Yeah, and that walking school bus is still going on today. So that's like, 12 years later? It's expanded. So it's really great to see, the first one in Highland Park. And now we have, I don't know, 3 or 4 routes, Susie? We have quite a few routes that have just expanded. So it really has taken off, and it's wonderful to see.
That's why I say poster child, because one of the issues that we always face is you'll get a parent who's a very strong advocate, a person who's really gung-ho, and then their kid gets older, and all of a sudden it kind of fizzles away. So it's the idea to keep the momentum going. If the fourth grader can walk with the second grader, at least we get 2 more years out of it.
That's right.
So I think it's great that Highland Park is doing those type of programs. We try to work with all the different communities in Middlesex County that are walkable like Highland Park, but there's other places where there aren't sidewalks, where there aren't a downtown. The schools, kids take buses and stuff. So I know when we'll be talking about those type of programs on a countywide level, you'll see that there's changes that has to be adjusted to make it work. So in terms of how we do these type of programs, having the support of Blaustein certainly makes it a lot better. And having a coordinated effort on a state level makes us work a little bit better. So thank you so much for what you do. I really appreciate that. Okay?
Thank you.
We're going to take a little bit of a break right now,
okay,
and we'll be back.
May is New Jersey Walk and Bike to School Month. Students, parents, teachers, and school staff all across New Jersey will be walking and bicycling to school throughout the month of May. Walking and bicycling to school not only increase physical activity and encourage healthy lifestyles among children, but they also improve the environment through decreased traffic volumes and better air quality. Most importantly, students who are physically active, like walking, bicycling, skateboarding to school, arrive ready to learn and perform better in class. So go outside and get some exercise with your kids. Celebrate 4NJ Walk and Bike to School Month by leaving your car at home and walking or bicycling with your children to school. Anyone interested in participating in Middlesex County can contact their Safe Routes to School coordinator at KMM, Chris Gonda, for assistance with your event. Information is also available on saferoutesnj.org if you don't live in Middlesex County.
Join me, Gary Sullivan, on At Home with Gary Sullivan this weekend. We'll answer your questions about painting, insulation, ventilation, mold, or how to refinish the laminate countertop. I'll help you protect your biggest investment, your home. I'll take your calls about your house and interview home improvement experts every weekend. So join us and learn how to do it, what to use, and where to get the products you need to be successful. Looking forward to your calls.
Sunday morning at 10 on the new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC.
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Pedestrians and motorists share the responsibility of keeping our roadways safe. Pedestrians must obey all signs and signals and use marked crosswalks, or they can be ticketed and fined. Motorists in New Jersey must stop and stay stopped for pedestrians in marked crosswalks. Failure to do so can result in motor vehicle points, fines, insurance surcharges, and community service. Remember, pedestrian safety is a shared responsibility.
Brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. A thought just then occurred to me I never thought before.
Welcome back. We're here with our special guest today talking about Safe Routes to School with Trish Sanchez, the Public Relations Outreach Specialist at Rutgers University and the Blaustein School of Planning and Public Policy. KMM Safe Routes to School Coordinator at Keep Middlesex Moving is Christopher Gonda, Councilwoman from Highland Park, Susan Welkowitz, and Max Vasquez, the Program Coordinator for City of Perth Amboy. I'm Bill Neary from Keep Middlesex Moving. I want to thank you for joining us today. Before we left for our little break, we talked to Trish Sanchez about how the state does a coordinated effort to work on safe routes to school to teach our children the safe way to walk to school. But we also have to break it down to a more county level. We have Christopher Gonda, who works with us at KMM. If you're listening to the commercial, we were kind of surprised that you were part of the commercial, Chris. But
yeah, we all heard my name next.
We talked about how the TMA world, the Transportation Management Association world, has eight different coordinators that cover the entire state. Middlesex County is unique. I mean, if you look at Middlesex County, we have Carteret to the north and Plainsboro to the south, which goes from farmland to urban areas. We have big cities like Perth Amboy and New Brunswick, and we have suburban communities like Woodbridge, Edison, and East Brunswick and South Brunswick. So it's a different world in every town to work with different school districts. So, Chris, how do you, if you want to work with the town, how do you get started with implementing these type of Safe Routes programs?
Well, to echo what Trish was saying, we have coordinators for the Safe Routes to School program throughout New Jersey. So if you're not in Middlesex County, you can go to saferoutesnj.org and find your local coordinator, and they can help you build that program wherever you live. But in regard to Keep Middlesex Moving in our specific program, I find that a great starting point is to have a sequence of events which start with a school assembly to raise awareness to other transportation modes to children, and followed by a walk event. So not only are we educating students and showing them how they should be walking to school safely and understanding the infrastructure and facilities that are available to them as pedestrians, but we're also giving them an opportunity to try it all out with their families. So you have the families and parents who are achieving more minutes of physical activity throughout their morning, as well as demonstrating and promoting the need for safer streets, safer roads, and at the same time, reminding drivers who drive past that group of students walking to reminding them to look out for children in their neighborhood and especially in the school zones. So we're providing families with that opportunity to experience and try out another form of transportation. And just to go back and talk a little bit more about the Walk to School Day. We talked about the Walk to School, Walking School Bus, mm-hmm. which is a group of students who travel together in a group along a set route. And the Walk to School Day is typically a bigger celebration where we would set a route with the schools and have a central meeting location and all travel together in a school. And it looks like a big parade. So like you said, Bill, this is a family fun event that schools and the local school communities get involved with. But it really looks like parade, especially if the local law enforcement.
Well, that's important, Chris. So we talk about the leadership required for these type of things. Obviously, parents, PTAs are always the impetus to start. But if you get a principal or you get one of your mayor or council member or a police department involved in this type of program, they can usually lead the charge the first couple times. And I think one of the most interesting things we've seen in some of the communities where maybe your child has to cross a major highway. You're not going to want your child to walk across a highway to go to school. So it's possible that you can drop the kid off at a parking lot, maybe a half a mile from the school where there's a park or there's something else, and the kid doesn't have to walk. You don't have to drop them at the front door to get the benefits of walking to school. And they can meet their friends at that park. And some of the communities do that, where they actually the walking school bus doesn't necessarily start at somebody's home. It starts someplace closer to the school.
Right,
and provide that kind of – well, I think important that we haven't brought this up yet about the Safe Routes to School program for the obvious benefit of reducing improving air quality and reducing the congested air around schools. If you're in one of the suburban districts, there's not a dirtier piece of air than where all the school buses and minivans are parked in front of the schools.
Oh, that's right.
So if you can give your kid a little bit of fresh air getting to school, it's a benefit there. And the studies have shown over and over again how much children are ready to learn when they get there. So I mean, those benefits are obvious, not to mention the childhood obesity problem.
Right, definitely. But as for the starting points for the program, I would recommend that sequence of events where you start with a school assembly to speak to the children and the walk to school event to, again, engage the families who live there.
And like you're saying, the school assembly is very, very important. And like that's where you need the school itself to buy into this program, because curriculums are tough and it's hard to get the time involved. And I think that's where your talent is really good, working with the schools. You can – We talked about like marketing our programs and stuff. It's all great that we have our marketing strategies that we let people know about it. But it's the one-on-one conversations with the school principals and with the school administrators that really set these programs in motion.
Absolutely. And the culture around walking to school has changed significantly over the last few decades. Now kids would have to worry about things like distracted driving or being distracted themselves by having cell phones in front of them as they're walking. So these are things that are addressed through that assembly as well.
Well, I think that's an interesting point. Distracted pedestrians. The kids can be distracted as much as the drivers, and they have to make sure they know where they're going and the route. Now, you do help with travel plans, too. If your school district wants to figure out a way to do walking type of programs, you can work with the school district on that?
Yes, absolutely. So what some of the idea behind keeping kids safe in the spaces that they're using to get to school is to evaluate those spaces. And some of the things that we recommend to communities is for people themselves to step outside of their homes or local businesses and to travel those places by foot so that they understand that perspective of people who are walking. And we would call that a walkability audit if we were to formalize a group and get them together and to walk around and ask each other and themselves, is it safe enough for an 8-year-old to walk? Is it safe enough for an 80-year-old to walk? And does it serve the needs of people who are limited to using mobility devices? Can a wheelchair pass here? Is a sidewalk wide enough? As well as, are there safe crossings? So we want to identify those feelings that are related to safety and put them in this perspective of what was it like for our younger selves and what is it like for today's generation to travel on foot or on bike now?
Well, one of the interesting parts of also Safe Routes to School, we're discussing the educational aspects of it, mm-hmm. how we go into the schools and teach it. But there's also a Safe Routes to School infrastructure program where the state, if you do this walkability audit and you find that there are some maybe uprooted sidewalks or there's some kind of problem with missing gaps in sidewalks or something, there's different programs a municipality can actually apply to and get some grants from the state on these type of programs. And those type of grants are really in cooperation by working with us or working with the TMA world and working with the Safe Routes to School Coordinator can help in those kind of applications.
That's absolutely right. When we get the data and all the information recommended to us by the community, we put that together in what's called a school travel plan. And that school travel plan essentially follows the format for applying for New Jersey Safe Routes to School infrastructure money. Again, my role as a Safe Routes to School coordinator is the technical assistance that's federally funded throughout the state. And then the other side of the program involves infrastructure funding, where communities can apply to improve the pedestrian facilities and bicycle facilities in their towns to again, facilitate better travel for child pedestrians to and from school.
Well, in pedestrian safety issues, we always use the three E's. There's education, engineering, and enforcement. So we do the education part. The education is a critical part to get the process started, I believe. And then, of course, the engineering is how to take care of this. And if there's pedestrian issues about people not stopping for pedestrians, that's when we have our law enforcement officers. So it's a comprehensive program. I think the Safe Routes program itself, though, is designed just to get people more comfortable. Right. I think there's always been the issue of stranger danger, which I think is something that people worry about. I think having a walking school bus or having leadership or having the fact that your parents now understand that it's safe for their kids to walk to school. And I think that's important in terms of looking at the future, because there's all these benefits that we can get. Not to mention, in the long run, more kids walk into school, maybe less buses, maybe less traffic, maybe less dangerous situation with school buses, and maybe in the long run saving some money on property taxes if we need less school buses. So I think it's got all kinds of benefits for the community, but at the same time it has certainly benefits for the children.
Well, that's true, especially in the area of the children's growing independence. When I step into rooms and talk to parents about Safe Routes to School, I'll ask them how many of them walked to school when they were younger, and we'll see many hands go up. Then we ask them, would you allow your child to walk the same way unaccompanied as you did when you were younger? We see a few less hands. But then when we think of the
– You're being nice by saying a few less. I'm sure it's more than a few
that's
less.
That's true. But when we think about the perspective that we had when we were younger and explored our neighborhoods, it's quite different. Now I'll also ask parents, how many of you can say that you knew your neighborhood like the back of your hand? And then you'll see some head scratching in the room. And then when we ask them, can you say that your child knows and understands and feels as comfortable in their neighborhood to say that they know their neighborhood like the back of their hand? It turns into an interesting talking point.
Well, I could see where it would be. I mean, the parents, we all have different memories of childhood, I think. But like I said earlier, walking to school was fun.
Right.
It really was. And beyond the benefits we continue talking about, it was fun. It was actually a good place to be, hanging out with your friends and doing those type of programs. So a walkable town is great. But if somebody wanted to get involved with one of the bigger suburban towns with the sidewalks, whatever it is, the programs you have to do, it still works. And if somebody wants to get involved in the community with Safe Routes to School, you're a local contact we can work with.
Yes, that's true. So in regard to larger school districts, we've worked with the township of East Brunswick. And one of the stories we had from them was we set up a walk to school day where there's typically busing. And a parent had stopped and spoken to me. And he said that, when we moved to this town, we always imagined walking to school with our children and getting that morning together by traveling together to school. And he said he wasn't able to do that until we put together this walk to school event with a designated drop-off location closer to school to make that route more feasible and more manageable in the morning. So he was very thankful for that. And at the same time, it showed him that he doesn't have to drive his child the whole way from home to school. He knows now that he can leave his car at a local park and walk the rest of his way walk his child's journey to school with him and just go back to his car and make his way over to work. So it does offer other transportation options to allow them to again, participate in this walk to school that we enjoyed when we were younger. And again, foster that independence as well as gaining more from physical activity and health and wellness benefits there.
Excellent.
Yeah,
and Trish,
I was saying that could work for even students that are bused. They don't have to take the bus. They could, a parent could drop them closer to a location and walk with them. So it's not just kids that are driven every day or that are being driven. They can kids that are taking the bus can also do that.
And they don't have to do it alone. That's the other part. They don't have to do it alone. If it's a park or someplace close by, not even that far from the school, they can meet two or three of their friends there and walk the last couple thousand feet to get to the school. I think it's a great program in terms of how you can expand it and be flexible enough to make it work in whatever type of community. So I want to thank you for that, Chris. Keep up the good work, because KMM is not a big company, but we're certainly big enough to have people who can show their professional talents and take advantage of some of the great programs like Safe Routes to School. So we're going to be taking another break right now, and we'll be back in a second.
Have you ever wondered if you need a helmet when you ride your bike or skate? Well, studies show that if you use a seatbelt in your car, have a smoke detector in your home, and look both ways before crossing a street, you certainly do. But if you cut your grass barefoot, play golf in thunderstorms, and pinch the grounding pin off of three-pronged plugs, you might not want to bother. Personal safety is all about your own head and how much you value it. If you have something to protect, wear a bike helmet when you ride.
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Don't let a little static come between you and the WCTC talk you love. Listen live to WCTC on your mobile or any Alexa-enabled device. Or log on to WCTCAM.com and listen for free right on your computer. Just because you're not in Middlesex, Somerset, or Union counties doesn't mean you can't hear WCTC. Connect with WCTC from anywhere for the best in local and national talk. Rutgers football and basketball, Somerset Patriots baseball, and your favorite WCTC shows.
Think it's safe to text or talk on your cell phone while you drive? No way, no how, not ever. Nearly 6,000 people died last year from distracted driving. So forget the phone and mind the road. Learn more about distracted driving at KMM.org or call Keep Middlesex Moving at 732-745-4465. That's KMM.org. Funded by the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration, which assume no liability for its contents.
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Do not consume anything that floodwater may have touched. Throw out containers with screw caps, snap lids, twist caps, flip tops, home canned food, or traditional soda bottle style crimped caps if floodwater may have touched them. Do not eat food packaged or wrapped in plastic, cardboard, cloth, or similar materials or containers that have touched floodwaters. To learn more, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. A thought just then occurred to me I never thought before. I've been a lot of places, seen pictures of the rest.
Welcome back to Mobility Matters. We're here with our panel today of Trish Sanchez, the Public Relations Outreach Specialist at Rutgers University, Christopher Gond, the Safe Routes to School Coordinator at Keep Middlesex Moving, Councilwoman Susie Welkowitz from Highland Park, and Max Vasquez, the Program Coordinator for the City of Perth Amboy. I'm Bill Neary, and I want to thank you for joining us again today. When we look at the Safe Routes to School program at the statewide level, then we looked at it a little bit more from the county level, how every school district can do different things and work in different ways to make these programs so successful. It's back to Highland Park. Once again, Highland Park, with their walkability, they take the borough and make it a community that's safe, efficient, and at the same time good for the business community, for the education of kids, and do a great job working with Safe Routes to School programs more than some of the other communities can do, because they really want to encourage safe walking to school. So our Councilwoman Welkowitz is here today. You've been working with the program for a while in Highland Park and the types of pedestrian programs you have. So basically, what kind of involvement do you think you're working on?
Well, first, thank you very much for having me here today. Bill, I met you several years ago. Highland Park's been working with Keep Middlesex Moving now for many years. And so right now, let me tell you a little bit about Highland Park.
Please.
We are a small, old, densely populated community. With that are wonderful things. Our schools are within walking distance. Full disclosure, you mentioned that when you were younger, you didn't walk through the snow for 20 miles. I didn't either, but I walked through the snow for about 5 or 10 blocks.
Well, I walked through the snow. It just wasn't 20 miles. That's all.
But I did grow up in Highland Park. That's the interesting thing. And then I moved away and I moved back. What's interesting is that in Highland Park, you really can walk to the local grocery store. We're one of the few communities that have an actual grocery store within walking distance. If you need a gallon of milk, you don't have to hop in your car. Just walk a few blocks. It's good for the soul. It's good for your health. Pick up your milk. Walk it home. It's simple. So we want to encourage this walkability for our kids at the youngest age. As Chris was talking about fostering independence, it's also fostering healthy habits. With that, it's important to get the kids out, to have them understand that it's doable.
Well, the neighborhoods are very doable. There's no problem. But your main street is a state highway, so they want to make sure they learn the safe way of doing things.
That's true. So working with KMM, we've been participating in the Walk Your Child to School Day. We have it in May, and we also do one in the fall as well. And those have been super successful. And I think you mentioned what we do is we meet in a central location, the parking lot of the grocery store. It's right in the central downtown district. And parents can walk there. They can park their car there. The parents end up meeting up. So they make contact. Then they can arrange for, what street do you live on? Oh, I'm right around the corner. So then you have another walking school bus starting. The kids are excited. They're excited to even wake up a few minutes earlier so that they can walk to school with their friends.
It's like
and
I talked
amazing.
About, the freedom when you're walking is fun. And having your parents encourage you to do this, it's a community type of benefit completely.
Right. And my twins are about 10 years old. They're in fourth grade this year. This is the first year that they are permitted by the state to walk home alone. All other years, they've had to have permission from the parent. The parent had to come pick them up, or somebody had to come and pick up the child. So this is the first year, and I'll tell you, the beginning of the school year, nobody was letting their kids walk right home. But we would, I've been walking my kids home from school since they were in kindergarten, I think was the first time, and that's pretty young. And they have their backpacks on. It's like, suffer through it, you'll manage.
But you said they're twins, though, so they're not walking home alone.
Right. No, right now they're not walking home alone. But even at that age, in kindergarten, I would pick them up and we would walk home, and it was quite a distance at that point. It was a different school. Now it's much closer, and it's fun for them. They walk home with this friend or that friend, and I always do try to pair them off at least with each other or another friend. Now they have after-school activities, so they're walking home with different friends as well. So there's a social aspect of it, too. They're out and about. It's great for them. They love the independence. They truly are asking for it. So it's really
And the healthy aspects, of course. I mean, childhood obesity is a problem for the whole country. The whole ready to learn is good. All those type of programs are good for the mind and body.
Oh,
and
a good breakfast and a walk to school – best way to start the morning.
Well, I know that Highland Park does other things, too. I mean, we've had programs there with distracted driving for the teens. We've done it at the Senior
right.
Center. They're doing our Silver Series. So it's great that Highland Park is doing all those type of things. The other thing about our programs, we've talked about our programs forever, but I just want to make sure I put our little plug in that says that we don't charge for our services. If your community wants to do this or your PTA wants to do this, we're not going to be looking for you to pay us any money. We have the programs funded already through different grant programs. So it's a great program like that. And I know Highland Park not only has programs designed for pedestrians, they have programs for everybody in the community. So you want to give us a couple things happening in Highland Park that maybe everybody, not only Highland Park residents, have to participate?
Well, Keep Middlesex Moving has been very generous. We have the walking school buses, as we mentioned. We've also been doing a bike rodeo every year now for several years. And I remember the first bike rodeo. We were surprised. We had about 75 parents, sign their name, register, just so we knew how many people were showing up the first time. And one woman pulled me over, and she was so thankful for teaching her child the proper rules, because where else would they get that instruction? And they wanted that. So
when you talk about bike rodeos and stuff, that's one of the programs that Chris works on. Chris, you're working on a bike rodeo just this weekend, aren't you?
Yeah, we have a bike rodeo coming up in East Brunswick. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the term, it sounds a little funny. But a bike rodeo, you can imagine for different team sports like soccer or baseball, children have practices or special workshops. Bike rodeo is just that. It's a bike skills workshop where we take a school parking lot or a municipal parking lot and arrange a space where students can ride their bikes, practice using their equipment, build confidence, and build on that ability to handle their bikes. So they, again, learn to ride safely on roads, paths, trails, anywhere in their community. So it's a life skill.
And the Highland Park, South River has a great big bike rodeo. We work with different communities on bike rodeos. Chris is a certified bike instructor, so that makes it even safer. So Highland Park, I'm glad they're still doing their bike rodeo.
Oh,
I think it's great.
Chris is there every year for us.
And do you get the police department involved in Highland Park or no?
We get the police department involved, Safe Routes to School. Trish is there. And
our
by the
SWAC
way,
committee, our safe walking committee.
Yes. Well, that's another way that we started out with Keep Middlesex Moving. They helped us get our complete street certification to put our resolution in place. And then from that, we created our Safe Walking and Cycling Committee, which is the committee that Trish chairs. And I want to thank you, Trish, by the way, because, you know, especially in a small town like Highland Park, we rely on our volunteers to really do a lot of the work for us. And in Trish's case, which is the case for many of our committees, the talent that she brings is invaluable. So we're very fortunate. And so thank you, Trish.
Did you show my children that?
But something else going on in Highland Park you wanted to talk about also.
There's
before.
A lot. You know, we've done.
But I mean, not just the Safe Routes to School program. You have your farmers market and all kinds of good things.
Oh, that big plug. Sure.
Yeah, I think
shameless.
We could go on and on, Bill, really.
That's
what I'm
saying.
This is my shameless plug for everybody out there to visit Highland Park this weekend. Our farmers market opens this Friday from 11 to 5:30. It runs through December. Last year we started selling Christmas trees. So please join us this Friday. We'll have a fair amount of vendors there now and even more as the weather gets warmer. Please join us. We often have music as well. Soaps are available, jams, hot sauces, pickles.
Pickles, yeah. Don't forget the pickles.
So it's wonderful. Our library book sale is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 5. These are the used books that are donated, and the Friends of the Library rely on this greatly, and thanks to George Peterson for organizing this every year. Our 5K begins at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information, if you want to register, you can go to the Main Street Highland Park Facebook page, or I believe the website is runthepark.org. This is a certified 5K course. It's great fun. Also, families run it. My son is running. So, you know, at any level, you could also rollerblade it if you want. So please join us. And then
you can certainly walk it.
Our annual street fair is from 11 to 4. This is a huge draw for us. It's going to be the biggest weekend we have every year in Highland Park. So please join us.
Well, you're a small town with a lot of good things happening.
Thank you.
Really want to appreciate the support Highland Park has given us over the years.
That you've given us.
Well, we're going to take one more break, and I thank you, Councilwoman, for your great job in Highland Park.
May is New Jersey Walk and Bike to School Month. Students, parents, teachers, and school staff all across New Jersey will be walking and bicycling to school throughout the month of May. Walking and bicycling to school not only increase physical activity and encourage healthy lifestyles among children, but they also improve the environment through decreased traffic volumes and better air quality. Most importantly, students who are physically active, like walking, bicycling, skateboarding to school, arrive ready to learn and perform better in class. So go outside and get some exercise with your kids. Celebrate 4NJ Walk and Bike to School Month by leaving your car at home and walking or bicycling with your children to school. Anyone interested in participating in Middlesex County can contact their Safe Routes to School coordinator at KMM, Chris Gonda, for assistance with your event. Information is also available on saferoutesnj.org if you don't live in Middlesex County.
text, and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Join New Jersey General Assembly Speaker Craig Coughlin for Speak to the Speaker on WCTC, the second Friday of every month at 9 a.m. Speaker Coughlin discusses issues of critical interest to Central New Jersey, as well as the latest goings-on in Trenton politics and all of New Jersey. Speak to the Speaker with Assembly Speaker Craig Coughlin and hosted by New Jersey Broadcasters Association Radio Hall of Famer Burt Barron. Only on 1450 WCTC.
Pedestrians and motorists share the responsibility of keeping our roadways safe. Pedestrians must obey all signs and signals and use marked crosswalks, or they can be ticketed and fined. Motorists in New Jersey must stop and stay stopped for pedestrians in marked crosswalks. Failure to do so can result in motor vehicle points, fines, insurance surcharges, and community service. Remember, pedestrian safety is a shared responsibility.
Brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. I thought just then occurred.
Welcome back to Mobility Matters. We're here with this with a great panel. We have this today, Trish Sanchez from Public Relations Outreach Specialist at Rutgers University. Christopher Gonda, the Safe Route School Coordinator at Keep Middlesex Moving. Councilwoman Susie Welkowitz from Highland Park. And Max Vasquez, the Program Coordinator for the City of Perth Amboy. Today we've been discussing the Safe Route to School program, the program that works on a statewide level, on a county level, and certainly in your own school district. Highland Park has a great programs they've been working on for a small borough where everybody is be able to walk through school in a safe and efficient manner. The programs are really working good there. It's also going to be working very well in an urban area like Perth Amboy. So Max Vasquez from Perth Amboy is here. How's walkability going in Perth Amboy?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for having me on. And, you know, I'm going to take a page out of Susie's book here and give some quick background information on the city of Perth Amboy. We're a very small, very dense community. We're rapidly approaching that 60,000 mark in terms of population, about a livable 4 square miles, give or take. So it's a very dense community. And in terms of walkability, I might be a little bit biased, but I personally think that Perth Amboy is extremely walkable. Very, very walkable. I love it. I've been walking around Perth Amboy for the past 20-odd years now, and since I was the ripe old age of 4 years old. I've been walking by myself to school since kindergarten, first grade. And you're right. We mentioned it before. It's very liberating. Very, very nice.
But it's also you have a lot of merchants along the main streets. You have nice neighborhoods. It's just a vibrant community. When you're in Perth Amboy, there's things happening all the time.
Absolutely. And actually, as a matter of fact, when I was – and I remember distinctly being in middle school and walking from my house, and my mom would give me my $2 for lunch money, and I would take a dollar and stop by the local corner store, the local bodega, and get myself an egg and cheese sandwich before school. And then I would tough it out the whole day, I would skip lunch and just hang out so that on my walk home, I could grab a slice of pizza at the local pizza guy.
So you took advantage of that freedom at an early age.
I took advantage of that freedom the whole nine. And it wasn't just me. You could see that from a ton of different kids. I know there's a lot of parents out there like, I really hope they don't sneak away that pizza money. But it's really nice that you're able to leave school and have all those people with you, all those friends that you talk to, and make your way back home and grab a slice of pizza.
So the informality of a walkability is really nice, but to be able to put the program into more effectiveness actually tightens things up a little bit so the parents won't have to worry about the kids getting pizza and running across the street to get a slice of pizza unsafely. We want them to be safe when they're walking.
So that's absolutely true. And so we know that there's a ton of kids doing these things and they're hanging out and crossing the street and whatnot. So there's a lot of institutionalized kind of systems that we have. So we have a very robust crossing guard system to make sure that entire, where I went to middle school, I call it Education Row. There's a middle school, there's an early childhood center, there's an elementary school, and there's a couple little private schools. The high school's a couple blocks away. So it's a lot of kids coming out at the 8 o'clock and 3 o'clock time slots. So we have a very robust crossing guard system. Actually, the city of Perth Amboy got a grant from Safe Routes to School, I want to say in 2014 and 2015. This is before my time working with the city. And that's when we got some new signage, the solar powered signage, the ones that blink up when it's cold outside and it's dark, so it's for further visibility. And just overall, just make it safer for the kids to go to school and get back home.
And just to repeat, those type of grants, the infrastructure grants, are available, but it really helps to be able to work with your regional coordinators and on the education concept too. It helps with the application process a great deal.
Well, absolutely. And it's really interesting that all the – and one of the requirements with the Safe Routes to School grant is to make sure that there's enough of a community buy-in that's in it. And it's really important for me to kind of stress that because as someone who went to middle school and high school in the area, I know kind of how it feels like to do it. But it's been a few years since I've been in middle school and elementary school.
Me too. So
it's really important to go back and say, well, I'm a little bit out of touch. What exactly is it like to walk to school every single day? What am I missing?
Well, didn't you actually have some students at the high school do a walkability type audit?
We did. And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because that's actually probably my favorite thing that's happened in the past year. Just because – okay, so it was a program, the Emerging Leaders Program, funded through the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the New Jersey Health Initiatives Program. And what that did was it got a cohort of upperclassmen. I think they were juniors in high school at the time. And they were tasked to find a project to make Perth Amboy a healthier place. And after some conversations with my predecessor and Chris Gonda and some of our members in the culture of health, they were saying, you know what, walkability, top tier, super priority. So they went ahead and they spent an entire summer, a group of like, and Chris, help me out here, like 10, 15 kids, a little bit more?
10 students.
10 students.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, 15.
It was 15, right? So, and they went and they canvassed certain pockets of the city that they thought were high priority areas. And I got to tell you, I was blown away with what they had. You would think that you would hire a full-time consultant doing these things, you know, and they presented to the city council and the city council gave them, you know, the round of applause they were, and it's, I still have that report sitting on my desk, both as an actual reference point for me when I do my planning work, and as kind of like a testament to show like what can the community actually do when they really want to get together and do something.
And when you're looking at Perth Amboy itself, the redevelopment plans that are going on there with the train station and the type of community they're going to be building, and the walkability doesn't only fit in for the children going to school. The walkability is going to be very important for the entire community. And I think that's where Perth Amboy is actually changing the culture in terms of walkability itself, starting at an early age with the kids. It's a great program.
So I've always been a big proponent of, like, if you don't have to leave the city, then you have a good city. You have a good community. You leave if you feel like it, but everything should be relatively close by. You need to go to the doctor, 10-minute walk. You need to go to the park, a 10-minute walk. You need to get groceries, a 10-minute walk. That's kind of the goal that we strive for. And you're absolutely right. With the redevelopment of our train station, with the development of our business district, you know, you're no more than 10 minutes away from, well, I mean, again, it's my bias coming out, but probably the nicest waterfront district in the entire state. That's I say that with a lot of pride.
Oh, it's a beautiful waterfront. It really is.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And if you don't mind, Bill, can I do a shameless plug myself?
You better hurry up.
Memorial Day weekend, May 24th and 25th, we're having a waterfront arts festival. And we're going to have artists from all over the state come out and give, you know, show their work. We're going to have live music from all over the state. And it is a testament. When you go to the Perth Amboy waterfront, you can park your car anywhere along the waterfront, and in a blink of an eye, you walk 2 miles because you just lose yourself in the beauty of it and what you have going on.
And
there,
it's a pleasurable walk. It really is beautiful. And the water is out there. I've done it myself. It's really nice.
It's so incredible. And it's one of those places where people really do get together as a community to share and the resources that we have as a city.
But your school district is still working on a travel plan. They're doing a district-wide travel plan, which is unique for a lot of the communities. And the city of Perth Amboy is really changing the way you're looking at a downtown concept. It's come a long way in the last several years, and I'm sure it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I know I have a lot of confidence that we're going to move in the right direction with this travel plan because we do have Chris Gonda, the famous Chris Gonda, on our team helping us out with it. And we're very excited. Actually, we had a conversation with Chris a couple weeks ago now, maybe about a month now, with one of the representatives from the Emerging Leaders Program that helped us with the walkability audit to talk about what this school travel plan is going to look like. And, you know, we were having this conversation, and it was, again, that we really need to get the community involved one more time to really get that aspect in.
But once again, that's the leadership part. I think Mayor Diaz is doing a good job in terms of creating a more walkable city, and I think you're getting your school district involved. It's the whole community wide thing. You just can't start and say, okay, let's have one little school, do one little thing, and then forget about it. It's the idea of continuity that I think the councilwoman was talking about, how important it is that you start it with a walking school bus, and now there's more than one walking school bus, and it runs by itself.
And Bill, we've done a lot of other things as well. We did the walkability study with Keep Middlesex Moving,
mm-hmm.
which was the basis of our grant application with Safe Routes to School. We were awarded $216,000 about 2 years ago. We're working on that project right now. We also were awarded the technical assistance grant that can come with that. We're working with our consultants, NV5. And, what's important about this kind of funding is that we hope to make the pathways around the schools, and then we applied for another one recently throughout the entire borough, easier for people to walk, have proper curb ramps down. And this is funding that it's grant funding. We can't raise this kind of money ourselves, otherwise our taxes would go up tremendously. So we're making these huge infrastructure improvements, and it's going to help all of the residents throughout the community. And that's why we're so fond of this. It's very hard for municipalities to raise these kinds of funds. So it's really important that Safe Routes to School is out there for us.
Well, I think it's also important you look at it from an economic standpoint. It's important to look at it. Obviously, safety is always number one priority. I mean, especially our children's safety. Pedestrian safety is always a critical issue. If you want to have a walkable community, you need pedestrian safety. You need to have the right engineering. You need to have the right type of infrastructure. But at the same time, you need to have the right kind of concepts for the residents. Perth Amboy is an example, I think. If you want to be a safe community for walking, you also want to be able to cross the street safely to get that pizza on the way home from school. So you want to Absolutely. Be able to do those type of programs and make it really work for a community-wide basis. It's good for the business community. It's good for the health of the community. It's good for the safety of the community. At the same time, if there's financial incentives that the state can give you to make it work, it's a good program all the way around. So Safe Route to School is really good. So before we wrap up, I want to give everybody a couple seconds to say something. If you want anything to add, let's just jump in. Somebody jumps in.
Well, I'd like to add one more thing. We've also gone to the DOT. They have a technical assistance program to create a pedestrian and bicycle infrastructure. So we're in that program now, and we've been working very closely with a consultant, which they pay for, and that's WSP. And they've already shown us some of their information. They collected data, did research, providing recommendations. They're going to be coming up with a full pedestrian bicycle infrastructure plan for us, which we can then put into part of our master as part of our master plan.
And part of your Complete Streets program.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is really vital. Again, this is work that we can't fund ourselves, and it's going to make big improvements in our town. You know, 50 years ago, all the engineering design was how to move cars faster and faster and faster. And now we're seeing that what we need to be doing is redesigning our infrastructure to make it safer for pedestrians, bicyclists, people with all different kinds of mobility needs. And the funding is there. A lot of support is there. So there's a whole paradigm shift now going on where we want people to be able to move around in a different pattern.
Well, I think that's the concept that Keep Middlesex Moving, and certainly Mobility Matters. The paradigm shift we're talking about is occurring. We've discovered that we're not just going to build our way out of congestion. We're going to have other programs that's going to work for people who need something besides a car to get around. I think 30 years ago, Keep Middlesex Moving was concentrating a whole lot on carpools and vanpools. We still think carpools and vanpools are extremely important and are really great to work on, but the paradigm shift we're talking about is a whole lot different today in terms of mobility for people who need to walk, people who need to ride a bike, people who need to have a wheelchair to get from to the grocery store.
Absolutely.
Those type of programs are really important, and I really appreciate the work you guys are doing on an individual basis, on a professional basis, and certainly on a volunteer basis. So we're going to be wrapping up today. I want to thank once again Trish Sanchez from Rutgers University, the coordinator, the public relations outreach specialist, Chris Gonda, our Safe Routes to School coordinator at KMM, Councilwoman Susie Welkowitz from Highland Park, and Max Vasquez, who I think did a great advertisement for Perth Amboy.